Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to Main Menu. Main Menu is ACB Radio Mainstream's regular look at technology from a blindness perspective. Main Menu is made available to radio reading information services around the world and is also available on demand. Coming up on a fairly UK-centric Main Menu this week, we first hear from Chris Cant, one of the founding members of the Accessible Friends Network website. Chris is followed in 25 minutes' time by a review from Philip Benthal from Sweden of the BBC's Treasure Hunt game. That's all to come this week on Main Menu. Okay, I'm joined today on Main Menu by Chris Cant, a name which will be very familiar to many. Chris has been around the assistive technology scene for quite some time and is a frequent poster to many an internet mailing list. Hi, Chris. How are you? And perhaps you'd like to introduce yourself.
I'm Chris Cant. I live in the northeast of England. Well, northeast. I'm on East Yorkshire, to be honest with you. That's a place called Hull. That's right on the pinnacle into the North Sea here. But yes, I have been around for quite a number of years on the internet. One way and another, doing tech supporting and things. And I've been around Audio Tips when it first started off back in about 4 or 5 years ago, and then they moved on and found a nice slot in For the People with Jennifer at For the People, helping out there occasionally.
When were you first drawn to assistive technology? Have you been blind all your life, Chris?
No, I lost my sight at 10 years of age. And then went to blind schools in Wavertree in Liverpool, and from Wavertree went to Manchester Henshaw School till the early 70s, 1970, then went to Birmingham to train to be an engineer. I actually went from college and had a job in open industry in a car manufacturing plant making steering columns. So I was working as an engineer for 2 years. That all went out the window in 1974 when all the car manufacturers just lost a lot of their jobs. We got made redundant, and then I was 4 years doing farming, helping a friend out on a farm for 4 years. Then I got into the workshop routine here in Hull, which I worked in a sawmill for 12 years as a machine setter, come working all the saws, everything that was in the workshop. I used to work. We built furniture, offices, stuff for hotels. We did a lot of timber work.
It sounds like you have a quite a wide range of skills there, Chris. You're listening to ACB Radio's Main Menu. I'm Dave Williams in conversation with Chris Cant from the UK. Chris, have you been involved with blind people much since your education days? And when did you become aware of the online blind community?
I became more aware of it after I'd left my post at the Sheltered Employment Scheme. Well, I was working with blind people there, you see. And then I left and made myself a business from home. I was doing picture framing from home. So that it was some skills that I picked up from my my actual work in the machine shop there, actually machining things. I thought, well, it's a simple thing to do. And then I began to be involved with computers for accounting, bookkeeping work and things like that. And I found my computer was never working right. And I used to call people in and say how expensive it was. So I started to learn myself.
Computer maintenance can be, certainly when you're calling people out to the house. So you started to teach yourself. And how did you do that? Did you take any formal courses, or how did you proceed at that stage?
Well, I had a good teacher, Mr. Allen Thomas, who's kicking around the internet these days. He's a very good friend of mine, is Alan, and he knew a heck of a lot more than I did about computers, and I used to ring him up during the daytime, and we spoke for quite a long while, for hours at a time, and he'd take me through all these, in those days, I would say, to exec back files, and we used to spend ages doing that, and from one thing led to another, and I gradually learnt more and more myself, and in fact, I show him some things these days now, because he wasn't that internet savvy sort of thing, and now I show him.
So we're talking really the era you're talking about now, obviously, the DOS era, the early 90s, late 80s. When did you really start to first make those tentative steps into a graphic user interface?
I would say 95, Dave. Windows 95 was my the best operating system that I came across with that sort of interface. And very surprisingly, I got into that quite easily. Of course, some of the things weren't as adapt as they are now, because they're very, very adaptable now. Everything seemed to be that far behind at one stage that I don't think the screen readers could keep up with all the applications that were coming up.
Very true. So you got to Windows 95 and you started to get access to the internet, and through the internet find other blind people, is that right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I once saw on one of the emailing lists, I think it was the JAWS, the Australian JAWS list, where Audio Tips first was mentioned, and I popped in there and spoke with them on there. You know, it's good when you get a lot of people that get to know you. There's loads and loads of people worldwide that know me now, considerably more than there was, say, for instance, in the UK.
For the people and Audio Tips, for those who haven't visited those sites, or online voice portals, community-driven websites, really, I guess. To really cut to the chase, those sites were well and good, and you still are, as I understand it, a big fan of those sites. But you felt that there was a need for something a little bit extra, something new. So what happened next, Chris?
Well, it's for the people, basically. That's what we are. We are for the people. And Jennifer's such a fantastic host of that place, and she encouraged to have a sort of a yearly party over there, and every 2 years, sorry. And we was all sort of feeling really that we couldn't really get over there, and to develop things on so that we could actually try and get some money together and get ourselves over there, we developed the TAFN.
Chris, can you tell me, what is the Accessible Friends Network?
Well, the Accessible Friends Network has grown from just collecting money to become a means of getting everybody over to the States. And it's grown since January. So, I mean, we're trying to gather funds together now and develop our own sort of support team. Friends that are UK-based, that are Peach members, that will come to us for support, help, guidance, and just be a great big friendly community where we'll teach each other and we'll learn from each other. And we'll still try and follow our thing of trying to get people over to the Peach Party.
Okay. And the fundraising is to do what exactly? The purpose of the fundraising, it's when you mentioned a party. I mean, we're talking about an offline party here now. We're not talking about a group of people meeting in a chat room. And you mentioned that that the folks from For the People, they'd like to get together every once in a while. Correct me if I'm wrong. Are you saying that you felt that some of the For the People users in the UK felt that they weren't able to participate in these offline events? And so essentially what you've done is to establish a charity in the UK to raise money to send people from the UK to the US to attend these parties. Is that right? Why would the man in the street give you, Chris Cant, a donation to send you to a party?
There is that in it. But I mean, yeah, that was the original thought, was to try and do that. And then it's more or less developed into our own concept of along those lines. Yes, we will do that, but when we can afford it. But we're sort of getting our own concept of what we'd like to do as UK members, and that is develop ideas of teaching online, of actually having accredited things online, because we've got an accredited teacher that's with us that is going to help us along. We're going to teach online.
What sorts of courses and subjects do you intend offering, and how are they different from those that are already on offer?
Well, they are accredited from Central Means, so that means it's a UK type accreditation that we'll be getting. Not sure of all the details on that, because he's more the teacher than I am of all the bits and pieces. So, I mean, Leon is accredited teacher, and he does that now professionally. So he is accredited. But we'll be doing lots of other things, like we have quizzes, we have, you know, games, we have music chats, and, you know, we're hoping to do bits and pieces with a radio station as well of our own, and generally become more SoundForge aware of how to work SoundForge and to use it. We're just going to do loads and loads of different pieces, but we're all looking forward to be able to do, you know.
So obviously we're speaking to you today as you're one of the people behind the Accessible Friends Network. Was it solely your idea, or who else was involved with the sort of establishing of the website and registering yourselves as a charity?
Yeah, we haven't actually got the registration yet, but we're about to soon, because we've got to be on there for a year. You've actually got to be up and running a year and have a turnover of £1,000 now. It's only just changed that you have to have a turnover of £1,000 in a year, and then you can apply for accreditation. And we've just reached that target, I'm pleased to tell everybody. So now we can actually move forward. Yeah, there's Leon Gilbert, our site, who built the web page for us, built the site, the webmaster, Stephen Pallett, the vice chairman, myself, Chris Hant, and Lisa Smith. All four of us were the beginnings of TAFN.
Right. And you conduct all your business via the internet then? You're all presumably in geographically separate locations?
That's right, yeah. We've got Leon's in London, Lisa's in London, Steve's in Leicestershire, and I'm over in Hull. So there's a fair bit of distance between all of us. And I tell you what, setting it up for the bank needed plenty of posting stuff to each other, you know. We want to develop and gather together as many beginners in computer terms as possible, because I'm there to support them. I will support them 100%.
You want to encourage people to learn about IT, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Dave. I mean, as many people who haven't got computers, we want to develop something where we can get computers to them, get them online, and get active within the internet community, because I think there's a lot of opportunities offered to people once they've got these skills developed within themselves. And not only that, they can find something. Once they've got the tools, they can find something to do.
What would you say to somebody who may suggest, and this is purely hypothetical, and I'm possibly playing the devil's advocate here, but what would you say to somebody who said that blind people should stop messing about with computers and get out and get themselves real jobs? What would your reaction to a position like that be? And how can the Accessible Friends Network lend itself to achieving some of the goals that blind people have?
For a start, I'd say show us the jobs. There aren't many jobs about for anybody, let alone people with disabilities. I think you can get yourself a higher grade job if you actually do learn some computer skills, and if you can develop something for yourself. I've been self-employed now, Dave, for 15 years, and I can get up when I want. I can go to bed when I want. That means, of course, I go to bed after 12 and I get up after 6. So I don't mean to say it's a shortcut, but people can develop within themselves ideas of what they'd like to do. And the difference being is you can do all sorts with a PC, whereas you're restricted with a single manual job.
Okay. And is there any cost for somebody wanting to use the Accessible Friends Network?
Well, no, they don't have to be members, but it's nice if they want to be. Our membership fee for the 12-month, for a year, is £6. So that's basically all that it's going to cost them. And maybe a bit of their time if they want to help us out, because everybody does a bit of helping out and a bit of charity fundraising and bits and pieces like that. Because, I don't know, the things we've got in mind and the things that are under discussion at the moment, we're going to need A, some money for, and B, we're going to give people jobs eventually. How's that sound?
That sounds very promising indeed. So would you say that really the site's primary focus is training, or what is the primary purpose? Do you have a mission statement?
Yeah, we do on our About page, and our About page is of being a friend, a friendly community, and being there for anybody, basically. And we have people from all over the place coming in and talk to us. But we're a friend of the UK user group, you see, we just want to do what anybody wants to do, take up their ideas and run with them, you know. So if somebody comes across with an idea that they'd like to do such and such a thing, then we'll develop that and work along those lines and do it. Like games, we've got games that go on, and, you know, anything that they may want to do. And basically, most of the time, it's there because we're just friends, UK friends, you know, our friendly society.
Right. What is it that the Accessible Friends Network could potentially provide that say, an organisation like the RNIB don't?
Well, having not been aware of all the stuff that goes on the RNIB, I don't know. It's things that are not accessible, or you don't know that are accessible, that we're going to show that are accessible for us. Most of the RNIB stuff, you've got to really find and dig and find out what happens. With us, you just ask us, you know. I suppose with us being online and being, a talking community, is that the word gets around what you do and what. I suppose the RNIB do offer quite a range of things, but they, at least they know that online training is immediate to them, and tech support is immediate to them, because I'm always sat in there.
Listening to Main Menu from ACB Radio. I'm Dave Williams in conversation with Chris Cant. We're talking about the Accessible Friends Network. Chris, ACB Radio is heard around the world on the internet. Does the Accessible Friends Network, obviously being a fairly UK-centric site, do you think it holds any interest for people from overseas?
Yeah, we do have people come in from overseas, yeah. There's our American friends come over, our New Zealand friends come over, our Australian friends come over. So we don't just base it as you're not welcome because it's only a UK group. It's a yeah, welcome to come in. You might not get involved in the nitty-gritty side of it, but you're welcome to come in and chat with us.
Okay, so you've mentioned training, and obviously it's a chat site as well. Is there anything else people can find on the website?
Yeah, there's a really useful page there full of the radio links. There's a radio guide. There's which you don't have to, you know, find that it's another link that you have to click to actually get the thing playing. These are immediate play links. So I think Leon's done an excellent job on the page itself, both for partially sighted and blind users. There's just so much to have a look at. There's stories of interest. There's a cooking guide that one of our members has written. That's Sue Pallett, Steve's good lady. And there's going to be a gardening section and all sorts that are in the development stage, but the cooking guide and all things like that, let's say thank you to Sue for.
Would you say that compared to, because there are other community sites in the UK aimed at blind people, one that springs to mind is Blind Kiss, which provides a fairly satirical perspective on blindness. Would you say that your site's probably a little bit more family oriented?
Does it have to be a family site? Yes, it is a family place, Dave, really. And you don't have to be over 21 to come and visit us. We know when to behave when people come in that are not that are a lot younger, you know. So no problem with that.
And where do you see this the site and the project going in the future? What's your vision for the Accessible Friends Network in 12 months' time?
Well, to have some of these certificates on the way to people, hopefully, you know, for taking courses with us, to have more tech support available, sort of at the touch of a button, there's tech support available for anybody. Really, it's got to be what they want it to be, and that's the whole thing about it, Dave, is that no one of us is really saying you've got to do this or you've got to do the other. We're always open to ideas, and that's what's nice, there's some good ideas coming up.
In the US, much more so than in the UK, there's a huge distinction between bodies who are service providers run primarily by sighted people and then consumer movements of blind people. Do you see something like the Accessible Friends Network being the genesis of a consumer movement?
Well, you never know, Dave, and let's hope so. I mean, for a start, you've just got to move with people who like, you know, who want to do this type of thing. You've got to move and make some sort of splash in the water, haven't you? We're gathering up people from all over the place that just like a friendly chat, like friendly tech support. Sometimes you don't even get friendly tech support. Sometimes you can get very snotty tech support. And we're basing ourselves on being friends. And there's just loads of people that are coming to us with friendly stories and being just generally friends. I've never found anybody that's come onto our site and been really nasty. We've only had friendly people, and we like it that way too.
The technology which powers the site is, of course, Ventrilo. That's the technology which provides the voice over IP capabilities of the site.
Yeah, well, it was Ventrilo that first hit took our notice, and that we could up the quality and control what we wanted to do within it, because we had our own server at one time, so that made a difference. Is we knew how the server would act and react in different situations. We went for a California based server because of price, and at this moment the UK pound buys a lot more abroad than it does over here.
Mm. The quality issue. Are you aimed primarily at broadband users, or can people with modems access the service?
Yeah, they can, Dave. We're on 11 kilohertz, so that's the medium range. If we upped it to 2250, then it would be a little bit harder for them, because it would break up quite a bit. Yeah, they can get in with modems, no problem. A number of people do.
Okay, Chris, is there anything I haven't asked you that really you'd like to add? Anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, if they want to come to www.tafn.org.uk and click on the link if they have Ventrilo, they can download the latest version of Ventrilo, because we run ours from one of the new servers over California. It's a 50 room server, and it's always up and running. That's why we were going to run it on one PC, but our option to actually run it on a server was obviously better for us, and it's always open 24 hours a day. So anybody wants to pop in there, you click on, you can download the Ventrilo client, pop your name into the Ventrilo thing and open when you open it, and then from there, and then just close it, come back to the link and click on to visit our rooms, come in there, and you're logged in.
Excellent. So would you say to somebody listening to this who, you know, they're thinking, oh, another website on Main Menu, whoopee-doo, you know, what would you say to somebody listening to this? Why should they come and visit you? Why is the Accessible Friends Network distinctive? What makes it special?
I'm there.
Well, there you go. There's a reason, Chris. And other than your presence, are there any other reasons?
Yeah, because they're a hell of a friendly bunch in there, Dave. They're a hell of a friendly bunch, and we basically know each other from for the people as well. So we join the gang over there as well on for the people, and we're one big happy family. And it's really nice to know that the people that we're talking on there, and we're getting new members all the time that are joining the peeps from the UK as well. So it's nice to meet them and to gather them up and to show them that we're available over in the UK as well. So we're gathering members that way as well, and a real friendly bunch they are too.
Excellent. Well, Chris, thank you very, very much for your time, and do keep us posted about developments at the Accessible Friends Network, and we'll perhaps have you on again at some point and keep tabs on you all and sit and see how the site's developing. Would you like to give the website address out again, and maybe an email contact address?
Yeah, sure. The website is www.tafn. Just remember, if you read Braille, it's this afternoon in Braille, tafn.org.uk. And of course, there's myself. You can contact by email at chris@tafn.org.uk. So if anybody wants to contact me, do so by all means. I'd be really, really willing to help you anytime I can.
Chris Kent, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.
Hello, this is Philip Benefal, and today I'm going to review a game for you from the BPC Program Software Division called Treasure Hunt. And in this game, you are from FBI, and your task is to walk around in a laboratory and stop James Brutus, the owner of the laboratory, from performing some ill experiment with a mouse. And he is cloning with a cloning machine, and he has cloned some kind of monster mouse. And a quick note before we start, since English isn't my original language, I hope you can forgive me if I say something wrong or something during the review, because I'm Swedish. Well, I guess we can load up the game in a couple of seconds. I'll just describe to you a bit how it works. You move around with the arrow keys, of course, and you fire your current weapon with the space bar. There's a multi-weapon system in this game, and you toggle between your weapons by using the number row on your keyboard. And, for example, number 1 is your gun, number 2 is your sword, and number 3 is your poison needle. I'll describe more how the different weapons works as we use them. Well, I'll load up the game now, and first we'll hear the BPC Programs Software Division logo, and then we'll hear a storyline, the intro for the game, but we'll skip it because it's quite long, and I want to start playing, so I press enter to start the game.
BPC Programs SD. Welcome.
Thank you.
Loading.
I'm welcome.
Please wait.
Press space or enter to continue.
Alright, it has loaded up the game, and we can jump over the storyline now by pressing the space bar.
Use the up and down or left and right arrow keys to move through the menu and press enter to select an option. Start new game.
Alright, here we are in the main menu, and we have start game as you heard.
Load saved game. Save game. Learn game sounds.
I'm using my down arrow key.
Registration. Exit game. Start new game.
Yeah, we're going to go for start game, so I'll press enter.
Use the up and down
press
or
enter.
Left and right arrow keys to move through the menu and press enter to select an option. Easy.
Here's difficulty levels. We have
easy, moderate, moderately impossible, impossible.
But I'm going to go for
easy.
And I'll press enter. And when the game is started, we will hear a short intro scene, but we'll skip that as well because you'll hear it if you download the game. By the way, if I haven't said it, I'll give you the address to the website in the end, of course, and I'll press enter.
Loading, please wait.
Treasure Hunt version 4, copyrighted 2002-2004 by Munawar Bajani and the BPC Programs Software Division. This game is written by Munawar Bajani. Sounds produced by Philip Menfall. Music composed by Kelly Saperja. Press space or enter to continue.
I'll press enter.
Oh, this is scary. Where's Munawar?
Here's the dialogue. I'll skip it. And here we go. We have... We are now in a corridor. In a dark corridor. And it is a north-south corridor. And we have one door in front of us. And here's a guard. And I can walk to him by using my arrow keys. And when I'm ready to fire at him, I'll hear a beeping noise. And there are many guards, so I'll have to kill them. Using my right arrow key, and there was no guard there, so here it was. When you hear that beeping noise, you can fire. And now I'll demonstrate to you that you can look ahead, and you can look to any of the four directions. To do that, you hold down the shift key and press one of the arrow keys. I'll look to my left.
A patrol gun, 1 feet.
Alright, I have a patrol gun right to my left, and I'll go and kill him. And here's a door, and I can open it by pressing enter. It is my audience, my equipment that detects a door, and then it beeps like that. And I press enter to open the door. You hear the door open, and now you hear the wind howling through the passageway. I'll just go and kill that guard. And I'll go through the door and close it. And there was a guard there, so I'll close it on the guard. Well, I was hurt as well. How much health do I have? I'll press H to hear that.
366.
Well, that's not too bad. And I'm, looking here. Here's a guard. Oh, I'm ambushed. No. I'm running, in this, northeast corridor. My first goal is, at first, to get the master key. And, that master key, a guard has it. And he is in a corridor. That I won't tell you because you have to find out yourself. We passed a passage. I guess it's a door which a guard has opened. You hear, if you listen carefully, you hear the wind howling through the passage to the right. And I'll close the door. Yes, and we go on. And here's guard. I kill him. I kill him as well. Get out of my way! I didn't ask for you. They are troubling me. They're making trouble. And here, here is a passage, a door, and I'll go through it and close it. And you hear the door close to the left, and I'll go through the corridor. And now I'll look and try to find a patrol guard holding a master key, and he is the one that I'm going to kill.
A patrol guard, 18 feet.
No, not him.
A patrol guard, 19 feet. Nothing. The wall.
Where can he be? I'll try to find him.
A patrol guard, 10. The wall. A patrol guard.
That key should be the one to the weaponry and the panel.
Yay, I shot him. Here's another one. Now I have the master key, and now I can lock and unlock doors. And to do that, I use shift and the enter key. And that's quite useful, because if you lock the door, a guard can come through it, and you are, like, safe there. And, I'm killing guards here. Oh, my ammunition. I have no more ammunition for my gun. I can press A to hear my ammunition.
Zero.
Oh, how dare you. I'll buy some more ammunition. And, I can buy cartridges of ammunition, and one cartridge... Oh, I'll use my sword to kill this one. I press 2 on my arrow to access my sword, and I have something called...
Poison needles.
Poison needles, and those needles are quite useful, because if you're standing south to a guard, you can throw a needle at him. You can stand in 10 feet, I think. And if you throw... I've poisoned a needle on him, and it hits him, he will die after a couple of seconds because he's poisoned, of course. And naturally, if you throw more than one at him, he will die more quickly because he got more poison. Oh, here's one. Oh, I use my poison needles because I cannot use them when I'm on these sectors. I'll buy some more ammunition for my poison needles because I want to demonstrate them to you.
Buy ammunition.
I'll buy
the amount of ammunition you wish to buy. All you buy, 5 units of ammunition.
Right. And we have to find a guard first to use them on. Oh, here we have one. I'm throwing poison needles at him. And I'm running away, and he will die shortly. There you hear that scream in the distance.
Sword.
I'm using my sword to battle off this idiot. I'm running the corridor downstairs. Down, of course. And I'm going through a door to the right and closing it. And now I'll lock it so the guards can't come after me. Because the guards can also open doors, of course. And I'm killing more guards here. Oh, where are they? Here is one. Yeah, and I think I'll buy some more ammunition for my gun, because it's a better weapon.
Gun. Buy ammunition. Enter the amount of ammunition you wish to buy. All ammunition is priced
and
at
I'll
5
buy,
points per unit. When you are finished typing,
15 if I have enough points.
Exit this book, you buy 15 units of
yay,
ammunition.
I had. And then how many points have I got left?
47.
I can buy some more, I think. But I won't at the moment. I'm running here. When you hear that beeping noise, yeah, I told you, you can fire the guard. I'm running through this east-west corridor. Now I'm going to try to find the weaponry where you can find some more useful weapons than those three that I've demonstrated to you. And I'm navigating through the corridors, and I won't tell you where I'm going because then you can just listen to this review and know exactly where to go to find the weapon. So I'm not telling you. I'm going on here. Oh, here was a passage. I didn't hear it. Can I close the door? Yes, I lock it. Lost, I don't know where I am. I don't really know where I am. No, I don't. I lost the way. I went the wrong way, I think. I'm running in an east-west corridor at the moment. Right to the east. Oh. Dang. I'm trying to find the way. I'm sorry, listeners, but I'm kind of lost. Not in the head, though, but in the game. Where is the exit? Come on, give me an exit. No, I don't want to go back. I'm running really fast, as you can hear, because I don't want to waste too much time in this stupid corridor. Where am I? I think it dead ends. I'll try another way. Oh. Wasn't there something there? No. I'm kind of lost in the game. Uh-oh.
Run!
Oh. Where am I going? Where am I going? Oh. There are a lot of guards here. I want to run away from them because I don't want to get killed. Come on. Oh, here's a passage. I can run on. Oh. Maybe I'll not find the weaponry at all. I don't know. Where am I? Oh, I think I found the weaponry. Yeah, I think it is. And I'll unlock this door. But first, let me demonstrate to you, or tell you, rather. Oh. Let me first tell you what weapons you can find in this room. Oh. Please, guards, I'm trying to describe to the listeners what you can do in the weaponry, so I don't want to fight against you at the moment, thank you. Well. In the weaponry, you can find four different weapons, and they are in the different corners of the room. You can find a laser gun, which is a very useful weapon, and you can also find a remote-controlled missile launcher. And that one, you can throw out a missile and control it, but you're still standing on the ground, but you can control the missile to make it fly where you want to fly, and you can press the spacebar to drop it at something. You can blow up walls, for example, and guards. That's the most wonderful thing we can do with a missile. Blow up guards, yay. I just love when the guard when the missile hit a guard straight in the head, yay. And as well, you have to use the missile in different parts of your mission. For example, you have to blow up the mind control center, which I will demonstrate to you shortly. But first I'll have to go into this room and get the weapons. And also you can find a bullet reflector shield generator, and it is very useful because if you're in a dangerous situation with many guards around you, you can use it, and when you use it, you get a shield around you, so no bullets can hit you from the guards, so you're quite, nothing can hurt you, and that's pretty useful. And the last weapon, it's the one I like most. It is called, what is it called? Oh, the mental capacity breacher. Yeah, it was. And that one, it is like a gun, but it doesn't work like a gun. If you hit a guard with it, you have to be south 10 feet, not more than 10 feet south of the guard to hit it with a mental capacity breacher. And if you hit it with that weapon, you can gain access to the guard's mind for 60 seconds and control him wherever you want, and you can use a guard as your assistant, therefore. And that's very good because you can like run around with a guard and help the player out of dangerous situations without getting hurt, because you are controlling a guard, and the other guards doesn't expect an attack from their friends, so they don't shoot you, so you can just run around and don't be shot at. So that's very useful. And there is also a function to return to the player's to press R if you are controlling a guard. You can press R.
Lunar War, take note that the supply room has been destocked.
Oh, now the supply room is full of health packs. I haven't told you about the supply room, but I'll do that later. Where were I? Yeah, the mental compulsory breacher. Yes. If you press R when you're controlling a guard, you return to the player's sector and can defend him to any attacking other guards. And after 60 seconds, when the time has expired, the guard dies. So, let me go into the weaponry and try to collect those weapons that I've described to you. There are a lot of guards in this room, so I have to be careful, they will die. You know what I'll do? I think I'll save a game here, so I'm just sure.
Save game. Enter a slot number from 1 to 3. This will be the slot from which you may later load your game. When you are finished typing, press enter. Press escape to cancel or exit this mode.
Now I'm going to perform step to save, and that's very hard for the computer, for the processor, so maybe this recording will crack up sometime, but I'm saving at slot 3.
Saving, we wait.
No, it works pretty fine. It is saving at the moment, so it takes a while because it saves the enemies as well.
Your game has been successfully saved.
Yeah, and now I'll lock the door to the weaponry and enter the battle. And I'll go through the door and...
That appears to be the weaponry. The weapons are in the corners of the room.
Yeah, that's my TSS, my communication system, which they at FBI tell me what to do. And I'll close the door to the weaponry and unlock it. Here we go and run. First, the quest. Oh.
Oh, damn! Luna War!
I got the weapons, I'll run away from here. Because I don't have much health. And I'm going to try. I got. The weapon that I got was.
Bullet Reflector Shield Generator.
Yes.
Gun.
And. Now I got.
Remote Control Missile Launcher.
And I'm gonna run to the. Northeast corner of the room and try to get that weapon. It is
a patrol car 3.
No.
A mental capacity breacher 6 feet.
I got it. So now I'm gonna get the last weapon, the laser gun, and we will use the laser gun in the future. Here we go. Oh, laser gun. I got you all, stupid cars. And you too. Now I'm gonna cheat to go into the room where the control panel is. I have to go to the control panel and enter a code to get valid authorization to the chest. So I'm gonna use my remote control missile launcher to blow up the wall and try to come to the control panel room. So I'll just throw it away and it'll start going north, and I have a wall to my north, so I'll blow up the wall. I'm going to run through the passage. Oh, now I'm running here. Oh, there are a lot of guards here as well. Come on. All right, here we go. I'm running to the east. I'm in a kind of open room now. But it's not the panel room though, because if I came to the panel room, it would notify me about that. I've reached the wall, and I'm gonna continue to run north. Here we go. Yeah, and we'll blow up that wall as well. Another wall to blow up. Where is the panel room? Oh, I don't have any more ammunition. I'll buy some ammunition.
Buy ammunition. Enter the amount.
I think I'll buy 5.
You buy 5 units of ammunition.
Thank you, and I'll blow up this wall as well. I like to blow up walls. Yeah, and there's another wall for me to blow up.
That looks like the panel room. The control panel should be in the northeast corner.
Right, and I'm running towards the control panel, but before I enter the code, I'll put a bullet reflector shield around me, because an ambush may occur in the control panel when you've typed in something.
Nothing.
And I'm looking ahead of me to see where the control panel
Nothing.
Is. So, I will enter the code, kill all,
you
die,
type
all.
Into the panel. When you are finished,
I'll press escape,
enter.
And... use the bullet reflector shield generator. And I'll go and enter the code. Kill all.
Die.
Here we go.
Good work. Now take care of the mind control center.
Oh, damn it. Laser gun. No. Oh.
The control panel, 1 feet.
Alright, here we go. How much health do I have?
122.
No, you know what? To be able to demonstrate this whole game for you, I think I will use a cheat to get unlimited health and unlimited ammunition, because I won't tell you the cheat codes though, but I have them. So I will use it, and then I will be able to run around without getting hurt, and that's really useful. Just to be able to demonstrate everything to you, because I don't want to die in the middle of the game. So go and enter the cheat code.
Control panel, enter cheat. When you are finished typing, press enter, press escape to cancel or exit this mode.
And now press enter. And the cheat code is activated. I have unlimited health now. And I think I'll get unlimited ammo as well.
Control panel, enter cheat. When you are finished typing, press enter, press escape to cancel or exit this mode.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I'll, in the future, I'll use my
laser gun.
We go. I'm gonna get out of here, because now, oh, by the way, my next goal is to blow up the mind control center, as he said. Excellent work. Now take care of the mind control center, you know that. And I'm gonna do that, so I'll press R to return to my start position, because then I'm closer to the mind control center. Now I'm back at start position. Now, oh. Hey, it was two guards there.
The wall. One beat.
Now wall. Try to get down. I'm not blowing up any more walls though. I like to do it, but I cannot do it too much in a review. Alright, I think I'll have to do it anyway, because I cannot find the door. There was many guards.
Bulletproof remote metal remote control missile launcher.
And I'll use remote control missile launcher to blow it up, and the wall is to south, so I'll change its location by using the right arrow key. No, it blew up the wall to the east. It wasn't supposed to. I'll use it quickly.
East, south.
South. Come on then. Thank you.
Might be 3 feet.
Well now, as you heard, it said
minefield, 1 feet.
Minefield, and that is very, very dangerous, because if you step on a minefield, you die immediately. So what I will do now is I'll try to locate the mind control center, and to do that, I'll send up a missile and turn it south, because I know that the mind control center is to myself. So I'll send up a missile.
South.
And turn south, and I'll press T to hear the location of the mind control center.
The mind control center is to the southeast.
Southeast, so let it go south, and I'll speed it up a bit.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1, 0, 0, 0.
Come on then.
1, 0.
Yeah, here we go. It goes a bit faster now. And I'll turn to the east.
West.
No,
southeast.
No, east. Thank you. Here we go, east.
1, 2, 3.
I'll check.
The mind control center is to the northeast.
Oh, northeast.
0. South. East. North. East. 1. The mind control center is to the northeast. North.
I'll continue to move it north to get the mind control center to be exactly at the east.
The mind control center
to the east.
Is to the southeast.
Southeast.
Oh. West. South.
You're shooting at me.
East. The mind control center is to the northeast.
Northeast.
North.
This is very complicated
east.
Because you have to do it.
The mind control center is to the east.
Yeah, east. And I'll move to the east.
Zero.
And I'll blow up the mind control center soon. It's going very fast. Come on now. Yay.
Wow, you are doing very well. Seems like it was water under the mines. Swim across to the chest now.
Water? I'll just kill those guards.
Bulletproof remote mental combat laser gun. The patrol car 2. The patrol car 1. The patrol car 12 feet. The log, 1 water, 1 feet.
Alright, now it doesn't say minefield anymore, it says
water, 1 feet.
So I'm gonna jump into the water and I'm gonna swim to the chest. And when you swim, it's kind of different because you use the space bar to swim north and shift and space bar to swim south. And the left and right arrow keys to swim west and east, respectively. So I'll go back, I want to step backward because the water is to my south, and I'll fall down to the water. Yes, and I am in the waters. I want to know where the chest is, because I need to get the key to the vault from it.
The vault is to the southeast. The chest is to the southeast.
Okay, this takes a while. I'm going to swim to the east. I'm swimming really fast to come somewhere. This is very complicated because I have to swim for like 5 minutes. It at least feels like it. I'm gonna continue swim east. Yes, swim a bit faster. I'm gonna get tired in my hand to press the right arrow keys rapidly. I'll check now.
The vault is to the southeast. The chest is harder.
More to the east, thank you. You are so kind, my dear audience. Oh, the audience is my equipment. I am still swimming to the right. There we go. And as well, when I'm swimming, I can check my depth. Because when I am more than, I think it's 10 or 5 feet under the water, the guards can't see me. So if I press D now, I'll check how deep in the water I am.
11 feet.
11 feet.
Luna War, take note that the supply room has been destocked.
Right, now the supply room is full of health packs again. And now I can tell you about the supply room while I'm swimming. The supply room is designed for health, but I don't need to go to it because I have unlimited health. But you will need to go to it when you play the game because you don't have the cheat codes. That was in time, but the supply room restocks occasionally, and then it is full of health packs. And if you get a health pack, you of course get more health. Let's see where the
chest is to the southeast. The chest is to the southwest.
Southwest! I've swum too far to the east. I don't like this. This part of the game is kind of hard because you have to swim so far.
The vault is to the southeast. The chest is to the southwest.
Swimming on then. Here we go. Yes. Come on.
The vault is to the southeast. The chest is to the southwest.
Southwest still. Swimming on. Yeah.
The vault is to the southeast. The chest is to the southeast.
Southeast. East again then.
The vault is to the southeast. The chest is to the southwest. The vault is to the southeast. The chest is to the south.
South. So I'm gonna use shift and the space bar. Swim to the south. And I'm swimming south now. And you can hear I press the space bar. I don't press it so hard though. I will, when I come up on the land again, you will hear that, because you will hear, because he's been under the water for a long time. Swimming on to the south. I don't like swimming because it's kind of, it takes a while. Come on. I like those water sounds. They are relaxing, and with the music in the background. I think Kelis Perja did an excellent job with the music. And of course, Moonover, you did an excellent job with the programming as well. I mean, I've been a beta tester for this game, and it has taken, more than, at least 5 or 6 months to create the 4.0 version from the 3.0 version. And I must say, you've done a great job. A really, really great job. I really like this game. Finally! I think the chest must be behind me or something.
The patrol car, 10
no.
feet. The patrol car. Nothing. The patrol car.
Where's the chest?
The vault is to the northeast. The chest is to the southeast. The vault is to the northeast. The chest is to the south. The control
south.
Panel
all
is
right.
Nice job! Now, get back to the vault. The authorization card should be there.
I don't have time to fight off those patrol guards. So I'm going back into the water, and I'm swimming. I'm using the down arrow key to get more depth. I am
30 feet
under, so that's the maximum. Sorry. And where's the vault?
The vault is to the northeast. The control panel is to the northeast.
Northeast. I'm gonna swing to the east then. And in the vault, something unexpected will happen. Or it's not unexpected for me because I've played the game, but something unexpected for the player will happen. You've got to fight Brutus, James Brutus, and he is the boss for the game. And you have to fight him more than one time, so you don't die. Swimming here, and where's the wall now then? The vault.
The vault is to the northeast.
East still? Yes. I must say that I think the water area is a bit too big because, I mean, it's fun to swim, but it takes a bit too long.
The vault is to the northeast.
I must say that. I mean, you get tired of just pressing the arrow key so rapidly. So, where am I?
The vault is to the northeast.
Northeast still. Right, I'm still swimming here. I've at least got the chest. Or the key to the vault, I mean. Where is the vault then?
The vault is to the northwest.
Northwest. I'm gonna swim back then. I'm pressing the left arrow key really fast.
The vault is to the northeast. The vault is to the northeast.
Here we go.
The vault is to the north.
The vault's north. I'm swimming north. And when I reach the vault, I'll hear a teleporter sound because I'll teleport to the boss. I'm pressing the space bar to swim north, as I've told you. Yeah, you press the space bar to swim north and the shift and space bar to swim south. The left and the right arrow key to swim west and east, and the up and down arrow key to increase or decrease your depth. I must have reached the vault soon. Yeah. Alright, it's time for fighting!
Bloody fool! Intruder! I shall get rid of all the stars immediately!
Ah, so you think so? Let's just see whose gun is better.
What? That appears to be Brutus. Too bad you have to fight him.
I know I will have to.
Come on, laser gun.
He runs around. No, please, please. Don't. Oh yeah, and I'm limited health. Come on, run away then. I'm killing you. Oh, where is he? I'm gonna run away from him. It was
Mother Gorgon. Damn! Moonamore! Run!
I'm running away from him. Where is he? Just wait, I'll get you! I certainly will get you! Come on, yeah.
Well, you got me this time, but I'll be back, I swear. And then you're gonna pay for this!
Yeah, you think so, yeah.
I believe I have placed you where you belong, Brutus. Good. Take care of him. Back to the vault.
I'm teleported away from the boss. And I'm on normal ground again, and I think I'll press escape here. Yeah, really.
Use the up and down or left and right arrow keys to move through the menu and press enter to select an option. Resume game.
Yeah, well, that is all I'm going to demonstrate. You'll have to buy the game to be able to play anymore. Yes, about buying the game. The game costs $25, and to buy it, you go to www.bpcprograms.com, and I must say that is a very, very good game. I really like it, and yeah. Maybe you think this is a bit easy, for example, the Brutus fight, but remember, I was playing on easy. You can't imagine how it feels to be facing Brutus on impossible. Oh my god, that's a real pain. I've tried it, but I didn't come too far. Oh well, I'll say thank you for listening, and I hope to be back again sometime with another game review. Bye for now.
On behalf of all the Main Menu team, very many thanks for listening this week, and thanks to our contributors, of course. Until next time, bye for now.